Are you feeling overwhelmed by hormonal changes? If you're a woman, you're not alone. With over 1,000 hormone disruptors in our environment, it's no wonder things can feel out of balance. On top of that, natural changes like PMS, menopause, and other life stages can leave you feeling tired, irritable, and trapped in a constant battle with your body. But here's the good news. You don't have to suffer through it. Hormone Harmony by Happy Mammoth is here to help. This herbal formula fine-tunes your hormones, balancing estrogen, testosterone, and even stress hormones like cortisol, which can contribute to weight gain, racing thoughts, poor sleep, and more. With over 40,000 five-star reviews and a bottle selling every 24 seconds, the results speak for themselves. Ready to feel like yourself again? For a limited time, get 15% off your first order at happymammoth.com using code NEXTCHAPTER at checkout. Visit happymammoth.com today and get your old self back naturally.
This podcast is sponsored by Talkspace. You know when you're really stressed or not feeling so great about your life or about yourself? Talking to someone who understands can really help. But who is that person? How do you find them? Where do you even start? Talkspace. Talkspace makes it easy to get the support you need. With Talkspace, you can go online, answer a few questions about your preferences, and be matched with a therapist. And because you'll meet your therapist online, you don't have to take time off work or arrange childcare. You'll meet on your schedule, wherever you feel most at ease. If you're depressed, stressed, struggling with a relationship, or if you want some counseling for you and your partner, or just need a little extra one-on-one support, Talkspace is here for you. Plus, Talkspace works with most major insurers, and most insured members have a $0 copay. No insurance? No problem. Now get $80 off of your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com. Save $80 with code SPACE80 at Talkspace.com.
Women to Watch is an intimate look into the lives of prominent and influential women leaders from around the world and the challenges they faced on their journey. It's the real story behind her title. Join us every week to hear more stories about women from around the world and in your own communities at womentowatch.net. Hello, everyone, and welcome back to another week of Women to Watch. I'm Sue Rocco. Thanks so much for being with me. Joining me in just a moment will be Tia Wiggins, and Tia is a senior partner sales leader for AWS North America. She's also a philanthropist, and she has a great story about growing up as what she calls an army brat, doing a lot of traveling, and just really becoming successful from sheer hustle. As always, stay with us during the breaks where you'll hear from our Watch team of corporate partners, bringing you some news and information from their fields and organizations. And I invite you, as always, to subscribe to our YouTube channel at W2W Media if you prefer watching the show rather than the podcast. So now I'm very honored and excited to welcome to the show Tia Wiggins. Tia, welcome to the show.
Hello. Nice to see you, Susan.
Nice to see you. Thank you so much for joining me today. It's wonderful to have you. I want to start the interview right off the top and share with our viewers a little bit about your background, the young Tia growing up. And obviously, I would say a big part of your story is that you're a self-prescribed army brat. And so you did quite a bit of moving around. Talk about that, just, you know, what that experience was like and how you think it impacted who you are today.
Awesome. Well, hello, everyone. Nice to see you all. I'm here out of Las Vegas. It's beautiful. It's sunny. It's relaxed. And I'm so happy to share more about myself. I am an Army brat. Both my parents were in the service, non-commissioned officers. And growing up, I was able to move to various states, notably living in Hawaii for a long period of time, 6 years, and then moving off to Connecticut, living in Virginia, Fort Belvoir. I had opportunity to see inaugurations because my dad worked for the Pentagon, but also too, we had two beautiful sisters. I also had a pet. It was also very humbling. Non-commissioned officers, they pay is a little different. Having three kids and a different time, it was a little bit challenging. So we did use food assistance, food stamps, which I used to always joke and thought they were Monopoly dollars, but they're actually, what we're using to pay our bill, pay for food. And, you know, I learned the spirit of hustle. I know some people look at the word hustler and they think of it negative, but no, it was the ability to build grit, the ability to, find other means of money. So, my parents worked multiple jobs. I even, as we grew up, I helped my mom because my mom also worked and helped someone clean offices at night. And I would go with her and help her clean the offices. And it was exciting, when she got money. It was like, yes, it was our prize. We also, we benefited from Salvation Army. So, you'll hear more about how I do give back through those different nonprofits to help others. But, a lot of our toys, when my father was in Korea, he also sent stuff, but we did receive gifts from the local Salvation Army and nonprofits. So it taught me a lot of, learning. I mean, I had friends everywhere. I still, even right now, I'm very nomadic, right? I don't believe in labels. If, Susan asked me the question, Tia, do you imagine, like, is Virginia, DC your final place of living? And I'm like, I have no clue because I don't want believe in that. I can be on an island. I can live in another country. There's so many possibilities, right? But that's what the military, growing up as a child, and my dad retired out. I feel like I'm like, I retired out when I was 13 years old. But those learnings and teachings and disciplines and openness has never left me.
I'm curious if your mom and dad spoke to you and your sisters about the fact you said you had financial challenges, and did they encourage you to go out and create a life that would be better, where you wouldn't have to have the same worries?
Absolutely. I mean, I share very transparently when I was in high school, and I helped teach my sisters money too, right? I mean, very early I learned how to sell stuff locally to a pawn shop. Very early I learned how to sell stuff on eBay. Even to when I went to college, I would buy my books at a local store and then I would sell them on half.com, right? I was not afraid to post things to get cash. My sisters, we used to take a little bit of our allowance. We would go to the local grocery store, buy candy, buy it for a dollar, and then we would go sell it on the bus in our homeroom class. No shame, right? And I was so proud of them when they started progressing to like selling chips and everything, right? It was like some sense of ownership. Those are things that were fundamental, right? And so when I think about, my mother was very big on programs. So there was at the time, our country was investing in a lot of state and local programs for, like, for example, there was a health education access program. So that provided, ability to go visit colleges. It gave visibility to practice ACT, SAT, camps, right? And it also gave me the interest of medicine, right? So it was the idea. I was like, I'm gonna try to figure out like, what do I want to be? A pediatric? Do I want to go into pharmacy? It gave me exposure. There were science programs from NC State, so they helped me, improve my ability in math. So, later on, I became a math tutor in college. But it was those programs that helped prepare me, and that was also another means to make money. And I was like, I love teaching others. So there's many programs that I can go down a list. I even came out of En-ROADS, another program that gave me exposure into business, and that helped me pivot into a different career path. And so those are why, again, I believe like there's still free access programs, but those are the ones that taught me the fundamentals and opened up my aperture in terms of what was possible and how to make money with less
I
effort.
saw on your AWS baseball card that one of your favorite things is
Making
making
money.
money. Yeah.
It
Which, we talk on the show often about, I think women in general sometimes have they don't want to talk about the money side of their business or their career. There's almost a guilt talking about making money. It's a really interesting topic. But I also wanted to ask you about, your dad is in the service. He has three daughters. What was your relationship with him? Was he a strict father? Was he supportive in all your endeavors?
So everybody knows my dad is one of my best friends. My mom and dad are my best friends, right? My family's our unit. Like that is my unit forever. And when I think about my dad and, when he would come back from deployments, that was our time. Right. My dad was very involved. I mean, he was in the schools. If there was an issue at the school, he would be in the classroom, in the back of the classroom. Right. Yeah, he was strict. We had different methods of learning math. right? I even joke, people might think it's abuse, but we did flutter kicks, right? He would have us do flutter kicks, like 1, 2, 3, 2 times 2 is what? But it taught discipline. I was like, oh, I don't want to get back and do this flutter kick. So I need to, all right, let me catch on. But he also, you know, taught me like, hey, you know, what's in the back of the book and work backwards, right? And preparation, right? And ownership. I remember one time I forgot a piece of paperwork and we drove all the way to this base to get some licenses and, you know, ownership or readiness, preparation, right? It's nobody else's responsibility to get, if I need something essential for me, it's my responsibility to figure it out. And I saw those behavior traits in my sisters, right? When I was in college, my sisters will come stay on their spring breaks. And, you know, while I'm going to class, they will be up applying for other programs, taking ownership, right? And I was like, okay, yes, right? I don't have to ask them. They're already naturally doing it, right? My mother doesn't have to chase them because they've learned it themselves. But yeah, my parents were strict. And at first I used to, you know, I was very disappointed for a very long time because I felt like, I was like, man, my life is like this. But now where I, you know, now I'm grateful because they were actually protecting me from myself and going off on a different path that probably wouldn't have led me to where I'm at today.
Yeah. Yeah. I think discipline can be a good thing. It can go too far, but yeah. To have discipline in life when you're going, you know, when you have goals and dreams and aspirations, it can be, you know, it can be critical.
It is. And I will not lie. They didn't make it comfortable for me to stay home. Right. So I wanted to go out and get the job. I wanted to. My dad was very clear. He was like, I pay for needs and you have to take care of the wants. So I paid for my contacts. You know, I needed glasses, but I made money for my contacts. You know, I needed braces, but if I wanted another form, you know, form, I had to pay for that. And I did. Right. I learned how to do that. Even, you know, I remember I got into a car accident, right? And my dad was like, you know, it was my fault. I owned it, right? He, you know, he comforted me. He consoled me, but he also was like, okay, the job you're working is not going to help you get the next ideal car. So you're going to have to change jobs. And then also too, I'm going to help you, you know, when I got 50% back of what I lost from the car, then he helped, you know, he came in with the 50% thing. So now I have this new 50-50 mindset. So where even when I was in college, when I was leading organizations, if they had a request for funds, I would say, all right, well, you have to fundraise 50%. And then I'll match you. But it helped drive some ownership and saying, hey, do you really want this? Do you really need this? And again, that was only out of fairness, right? Because again, my dad was the main breadwinner in the home, right? Because my mom had to step back to take care of us and all our programming and stuff. And she was still working, but it wasn't the main means. Because again, with colleges and all these programs and stuff, my dad's really stepped up. And then, I mean, he worked tirelessly. He had a huge job at Verizon Business. And, you know, God forbid, he went through WorldCom, MCI, and the whole journey. And his job continued to, you know, I watched him like tirelessly just not give up. All he asked was just for, hey, if you, you know, some support and ownership and gratitude. So he was teaching me. I appreciate it.
Yeah. A big part of your life when you were younger was moving around. And I think that can be incredibly hard for kids starting over. You know, we're insecure, you know, when we're staying in one place and going through school and trying to, you know, not stand out too much. And here you are, the new kid over and over. Tell me, you know, you shared with me that you love travel, you love to meet new people. And I wondered, was that innate in you or does that stem from what you were experiencing growing up and you became comfortable with it?
Yeah. So, you know, when I was rotating while being a military child, it was a little bit different, right? The schools are accustomed to children coming in. So I felt like, you know, the teachers all kind of incubated that environment, made it very easy for me in terms of, you know, Tia, where are you from? You know, they used to have a little pinpoint, used to put on the map, like, what state are you coming from? And all the kids on base were very similar. I'm like, so where are you coming from?
Oh, right. Okay. So they're all in the same,
The change was getting out of that environment, moving to North Carolina and coming out of that environment and going to regular civilian schools, that's the change, right? So it was challenging at first, you know, identity, understanding self. I mean, everyone, I hate to say, we're not too stylistic as Army brat children because you're parents can afford it. So nobody really judges you by your clothes. People down south are a little bit more stylish, right? Hair, it was a lot, right? So it took a while. I won't lie, to transition in and try to figure out my identity. My parents did their best to try to find communities that I best fit. And honestly, I was vocal. I was like, this is not the right school for me. I'm like, this is too much. And they pivoted, right? And they put me in an environment that I felt comfortable enough to be like, okay. And then I found my friends, and it took a long time to find my right friend groups. All right, who can I relate with that doesn't make me feel like I'm stepping out of my own? But the programs helped me too, because the programs were like, all the kids had something. They were all learning science, right? We're all going to learn something about medicine. So there was something common. And so I kept that type of mindset even through college. You know, working multiple jobs gave me different exposure to different fields, different people, and I never stopped traveling. So my first job, I went to New Hampshire, and I loved it then, because then my boss said, within 3 months, you need to get your passport. And I was like, okay. And then she was like,
I'm going somewhere.
Yeah. I'm like, okay. She was like, we're sending you to London. And I was like, oh, wow. Right. And it was like, it's my time. And I just went with an open mindset. And when I was in London, I found I had a cousin who was studying abroad in a part of Spain. So I was like, well, let me book a ticket to go see her. And I've never stopped being afraid to go. I joke with people, ladies. I say my favorite show at the time was Law and Order, because Law and Order taught me instinct. Discernment, right? How to be wise around my area, right? But I never wanted to be a barrier of curiosity to just step out and go in an area and just roam and then be like, okay, you know, there's been some countries I was like, okay, Tia, you're pushing it. Like,
I don't need to stay here too long.
Yeah, I was in Morocco, and I was like, I don't know, you're gonna come get me. I was like, I am out here and my cell phone doesn't work. Go back. Anyway, but it taught me that, you know, and I've never stopped. And then it's crazy, my jobs, they kind of naturally pushed me there. Like, I had another job that they told me I had to go to Thailand, and I didn't have a company credit card or proper cell phone. And I just went, and I navigated it. And I was like, all right, find a translator. All right. You don't like your hotel.
Figure it out.
Right?
Yeah.
So that's how I've always been, is like, just figure it out. Like, and that's what I think my upbringing was. My parents always figured it out. And I saw that and I witnessed it. And that was innate. And then they taught me that in terms of, all right, let's figure it out. And so as I've continued to grow, I just constantly, I'm like, all right, proactive. Like, what's the game plan?
That's a really good way to parent, I think, is to not do everything for your children. And I think sometimes parents get, you know, they fall into that because they love them so much. They don't want anything to be hard.
I know.
Your story is a great example of encourage your kids to figure things out on their own, because at the end of the day, it's about teaching them to be independent in the world and figure it out.
I am so, seeds of steps. My middle sister is an optometrist. So proud of her. My baby sister is a pediatric dentist. So proud of her, and watching them figure it out too, as they had to rotate in different residencies in very rural states, right? I had to live in rural states. So watching them go on their own path and have to be out there and be isolated and really, you know, not be able to work a job because you can't work in those med programs, figuring it out. So, you know, I'm like, okay. You know, not being afraid to apply for state assistance because, you know, to pay for your food because you can't work, but you got to eat, right? Not have pride, right? I'm so proud of them.
Yeah.
But that's the life.
Yeah. I asked you, you know, what, when you look back on your life, what has been challenging for you? Because that's mm-hmm. always something we want to bring forward. And in spite of your ability to figure things out, and you weren't afraid, certainly, to try new things, you said, shared with me, it was judgment of others. Tell me what you meant by that.
Yeah. So there's two things. Like, I learned of this concept a long time ago regarding post-traumatic growth syndrome, right? So if you come up from a part of trauma or you see things, struggle, right? How do you, like, there's an innate thing that say you want to do well. But there's also another thing called rejection and acceptance. So as I shared, like, hey, navigating those friend groups, there's rejection. Like, hey, I can't fit into that. Like, I don't even know who my body is, I have to have a point of view. You know, I'm used to being kind of silent, right? Like, navigating that culture. And then rejection of not being, you know, not being able to fit in. Someone say, no, you don't fit into this fin group. No.
Did someone say that to you?
Oh, yes. No, not this sorority, not this one. No, not this job. No, not this role. And then, you know, and some actually put a little bit more salt and say, why, right? Like, you're not good enough. You're not pretty enough, right? You're too big. All these different labels, right? That actually gets mentally take someone out. But I had my moments of where I got frustrated and I got real honest. I'm a believer. I have a faith. You know, I believe in God. And I got real serious and built real transparent and honest, right? I do something every year. I actually go to an island and I walk. I walk the beach and I try to meditate and I think. And even then, like, used to find water. So my grandfather, you know, was lived by water, and I would spend time by the water just reflecting and thinking. And then I would lay down my vision and say, and write down, okay, what am I going to do? Right. And then things naturally just start, you know, the right doors start opening. But that rejection point in relationships, in work, in family, tough, right? Because again, you just, after a while, that nomadic military child, you're like, hey, I'm ready. And it's like, no. Oh, okay. Why? I'm here. No. Okay. All right.
Have you come to a place now where you think it wasn't meant to be? Those no's.
I've gotten older, yes. As I've matured, and it's honestly the seasons change and I see the progression and the growth. I'm like, thank you for that no. You know, thank you for the person that rejected me on a job. Thank you for the person that didn't want to pick up the phone call and have a conversation with me because they were way too busy and they didn't think I was worth it. Thank you for the person that gave me a label, you know. Thank you for a person who said, I remember even somebody questioned where, because of my upbringing, they were like, interesting, right? Because of my background, I'm in sales now, right? But I used to be in HR, and even in HR, I was more business minded, more business outcome focused, more sales focused. But people are like, oh, she's HR. Oh, you know, put her on the files. No. I was like, oh no. I learned to find good champions, right? I spent time, my curiosity of spending time around people and finding people that were interested in me. And those are the folks, individuals that gave me, help bring life back into my visions and help me overcome those things. And they also helped me understand like why that one situation wasn't needed, right? I also recognized in the journey imposter syndrome, that there was times that I let that noise become so loud, I forgot that I actually had grit inside of me, that I had fight inside of me, that I had energy inside, that I had positivity, right? And that I actually deserved to be in certain places, but not in that room with that person or those individuals, right? Those are things I've learned over life as I continue to grow. And I'm like, okay, even where I live, I'm like, whew, thank you for those no's. Thank you for, thank you for the wrong area. Thank you for that. Yeah. And so again, there's mechanisms that I do to kind of remind me of that, to keep me focused, but absolutely.
I know one is journaling.
Yes.
we're going to take a quick break. And when we come back, I want to talk about the moment you pivoted from wanting to be a pharmacist to going into business. How did that come about?
Absolutely.
Stay with us as we go into our break. You'll hear from our watch team and we'll be back with Tia Wiggins.
One of the hardest parts of getting older is feeling like something's off in your body, but not knowing exactly what. It's not just aging. It's often your hormones, too. When they fall out of balance, everything feels off. But here's the good news. This doesn't have to be the story of your next chapter. Hormone Harmony by Happy Mammoth is an herbal formula made with science-backed ingredients designed to fine-tune your hormones by balancing estrogen, testosterone, progesterone, and even stress hormones like cortisol. It helps with common issues such as hot flashes, poor sleep, low energy, bloating, and more. With over 40,000 reviews and a bottle sold every 24 seconds, the results speak for themselves. A survey found 86% of women lost weight, 77% saw an improved mood, and 100% felt like themselves again. Start your next chapter feeling balanced and in control. For a limited time, get 15% off your entire first order at happymammoth.com with code NEXTCHAPTER at checkout. Visit happymammoth.com today and get your old self back naturally.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy, just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job post seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/PODKATZ13. Just go to Indeed.com/PODKATZ13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
As a female-led organization, you have to bring it every single day. We're a mashup of sort of right and left brain. So we're not just doing management consulting. We're not just doing creative services. We're not just producing an event, but we're bringing a comprehensive solution to our clients. And because of the way we approach it, we end up being bought into what it is that we're doing in a way that we truly have as much skin in the game as our clients do, whether it's bringing affordable internet to communities across the Caribbean, or it's helping Comcast with their Internet Essentials program, which is something we've been very proud to work on, or it's helping the NFL celebrate their centennial season by getting 1 million people to give at least 100 minutes to causes they care about, or helping the city of Philadelphia win the World Cup. So what's next for us? Well, we just hit just over 100 employees. I think we are at that tipping point, and I don't think there's anybody that does it better than we do. I'm Maggie Wilkinson, CEO of Athena Global Advisors, a company that is proudly based in Philadelphia.
Ladies, I'm Tiffany Curtin, a financial professional with more than 25 years of experience serving successful women, families, and businesses. Here's the reality. You don't have to be the one managing your family's finances to take ownership of your future. But if you want true confidence about how everything is going to play out, you do have to take part in the process. That doesn't mean digging into the weeds of your finances when you don't have the time or desire. It means elevating your awareness of your own circumstances. It means having the bigger conversations so you're empowered when you need to be. Let's bring confidence to your family's future without overwhelming your time. Call myself at 903-520-2709. That's 903-520-2709. Or visit Johnson Financial Group on our website, www.jfg.cc. Not .com, www.jfg.cc.
Hi, I'm Katie Gore, the president of Quidel Consulting and Training. There are a lot of myths about affordable housing and the people who need and live in affordable housing. One myth, for example, only people who are unemployed need and live in affordable housing. The reality is that many people in affordable housing actually have working full-time jobs. Teachers, healthcare workers, service employees, people who are essential in our communities. They often struggle to afford rent in so many communities across the nation. And that's what's the beauty about affordable housing. They are providing work in the communities at an affordable rent. Another myth is that affordable housing increases crime. Studies consistently show there is no link between affordable housing and increased crime. In fact, stable housing can reduce crime by providing security and fostering stronger community neighborhoods and building attachment for the people who live in affordable housing. For more information about affordable housing and to walk through some more of those myths, you can find me and my segment on the Women to Watch platform.
Hi, welcome back to the show. I'm joined this week by Tia Wiggins. Tia is a senior partner sales leader for AWS, and she's also a philanthropist. And before the break, I mentioned your decision. You initially were going to go into pharmacy school, and something happened, and you said, you know what? That's not for me. I want to go into business. What happened?
Yeah, absolutely. So as I shared before, very curious in college, right? So I did it all. Like, you know, in high school, I was Norton, I was Cisco certified, work, you know, went into, you know, learning all IT things. I was also becoming, I worked at a pharmacy. I mean, I worked at a pediatric office in North Carolina. And what happened was in college, I, you know, was taking all the chemistry courses. I was down that pathway. And then I got introduced to the business school. And thanks to UNC Greensboro, they make sure you take foundational classes in different schools. So you make sure you know what you want to do. And I remember we had to put a paper together as a team. And you had to select a team lead, and the team voted me, you're the team lead. And, you know, and we had to do the survey, and we had to go out and get insights and pull this document together. And I'm not gonna lie, I got an A on it. And I was like, wow. And that's when I learned I had leadership within me, because everyone was following the guidance and the timelines. And I was like, okay. And in chemistry school, there is none of that, right? You are a person.
You're alone. You're out there alone,
right? You're actually the last four. Right. And for us, you're the last 4 year social security number. Like you go look at your last four, and you find your score, and that's it, right? And I also had a mentor, right? She was a big sister, and she was over the Black Business Student Association, which is another organization. And she was like, hey, you know, she saw me in the school. She's like, you should come along with me to these, like, programs. And I love the stuff that the organization was doing in the community. I love, like, they were teaching wealth, they were teaching finances. And that was an area that I wasn't too comfortable with. I wasn't comfortable with it. And again, I had this mentality growing up, like, I was like, I refuse to be broke, busted, and disgusted. I was like, all right, and how am I going to make money, right? I got 4 years of college, how am I going to make money? And I was like, all right, this chemistry stuff, this is getting harder, right? But this business school, this is different, and it's teaching me what I don't know. And I, sophomore year, I changed my degree. I didn't tell my parents until after. And then when they found out, they were like, what? And I said, I promise you, you won't have to pay another dime. And I promise you, you won't have to pay for my grad school. And that was bold. And I actually have it in a journal. I was like, all right, let me write this down. I got to get a company.
No, it'll happen.
My degree, please. But that's what happened. And it just naturally took off. And then my friends, because I came into business late, business school, it was hard for me to get an internship. And my best friends to this day, they leaned in and they helped advocate for me to become part of this organization called En-ROADS that helped me get a business internship at Nortel Networks. And you're supposed to have essentially two good semesters prior to getting internships. And they accepted me. And that was just enough for me to get a, you know, some type of street cred on my resume that led to me getting my first job.
Okay.
So yeah. it just naturally happened. And even, you know, business school taught me hustle too, because we didn't love the companies that were coming to our college. So me and my friends, we got in a room, we made our own business cards, went to Walmart, you know, we got paper, and we actually went to different universities, and we snuck into their career fairs, and we just left our resume. And my resume was discovered from a different university for my first job that just changed my entire life.
Wow. Wow. Okay. I want to share a quote. You said, my superpower is transformation and vision. And every year I start off with a love letter to myself related to my career, a bold move. And you don't only do that. A lot of people journal, they write things down just to kind of clear their head. But you share it with your sponsors and your network, I would assume for accountability. Tell me about that.
Yeah. So I don't share the full letter, right? That's the full letter's deep, right? But I give them nuggets, right? For accountability. But one of my college friends, she sent me this picture frame with a picture of us, and it was like notes of her remembering the things that we had talked about in terms of goals. And then she's the one who gave me that idea and I saw it even in her dorm room. I was like, oh my gosh, this is amazing. And how I've evolved it is, you know, first I was doing it as like a SWOT analysis. Here's, you know, this is my strengths. You know, here's where I feel I'm weak. Here's where I feel like my opportunities are. And, you know, sometimes I'm threatened, but I can overcome this. That was like the foundation. And as I've grown and matured, I started fasting and being deeper. And what I start off is first I say, hey, I start with a scripture, and then I start off with like gratitude. And I think about gratitude. I think about the experiences with people, even down to family members. I'm like thankful for me and my uncle went to did this event and my friend, and I spent time here. I talk about some accomplishments. I said, hey, you know, even breakups. I said, I overcame this breakup. You know, I'm grateful for that moment. And it changes my perspective, right? In terms of how I reflect and think. And then I go into love letter and say, this year, you know, I'm going to focus on these three major priorities. And I want to see, you know, what's, and then my big crazy idea is to go do X, Y, and Z. And you, I actually have in a space in my home, I actually have the letters year over year.
Wow. Right. Yeah.
And I can see the moments and I can see the growth and the progression of things I thought that could never be possible have come to pass. Things yeah. that never become possible. And then it also not just, you know, trying to say the financial or anything, but I look at the experiences because some of the people, unfortunately, are no longer here. But I can reflect and say, wow, I remember that moment we spent together because I captured it in that love letter.
Yeah, that's beautiful. That's really beautiful because I think we're so busy moving through life and we don't always take the time to reflect and experience a moment with someone. What did I, that was a gift. And what was the gift? What did I
what
take
the gift?
Away from
even
that?
The bad, telling, even like a bad guy, I was like, what was the learn lesson? Like,
yeah.
what was
yeah.
it? But I don't yeah. want to look back on the year and be traumatized by it, but I want to reflect and say, you know, how, you know, like, wow, how I overcame it, right?
Yeah. I'm guessing one of your big crazy ideas was you created an endowment at your university. Yeah. And I think, where's my notes? So in the Greensboro School of Business, you created an endowment for students, I guess, who can't afford to go there, a $25,000 endowment. Why was that so important to you?
I just knew... again, growing up, right? I also in college worked multiple jobs, right? Any professor, anybody knew, I was a tutor. I worked the registrar's office. I was a babysitter for a local, a nice lady of Greensboro on the weekends. For my breaks, I worked Bath and Body Works. I worked Davis Bridal. I worked, right? And then on campus, I was a student leader. I could not, did not have the capacity to go and get a, be a 4.0 student. But does that negate my pathway? No, what impacts is my ability to get scholarships, right? And scholarships to me is an indicator to someone to say, you're doing something right, right? Keep on. You're investing into this person. And I remember I applied for scholarships and rejection. And this one scholarship came through Mr. Bill Black. And his letter was so beautiful because he did his research on me. And he called out and noticed everything I was doing. And that's exactly what my scholarship focuses on. There is a GPA limit to it, right? And it's not, I don't believe you can exceed a 3.4 for the scholarship. And the idea is because everyone of 3.5, they're going to be naturally eligible. But here, this population is overlooked. So I'm like, this is like, it ensures that dollar for dollar via an endowment, it's paid out via a scholarship. And you have to show, hey, you are working multiple jobs. You're actually, you know, you're essentially hustling. I want to give life and examples to you doing this. And every girl that's been awarded that scholarship year over year, they have that story. And I'm sitting there and I'm looking and I'm like, that is me. I'm hearing that. Yeah. So we it is endowment. And because I was forced to move quicker, you know, to take a benefit of a benefit to help with some matching of it, matching that requires spending in the same year, the scholarship actually started, I started funding two scholars every year. So, and I think the pandemic, we bumped up to three, but now we have, I believe it's 14 girls that have been awarded a scholarship.
Wow.
So the endowment's fully funded. And now that scholarship, and again, it was only the mental model was $25,000, $5,000 a year. We can do this. And I could never imagine that it will be a different dollar amount and 14 girls as of today, which is insane. And now my I can see more people trying to donate into it. And I want people to create their own, like create your own seed, right? So we can actually scale and spread to more people. But that, to me, it was honestly that it's just to give acknowledgement. And when I check in with some of the girls to say, are things okay, right? Do you need anything else? They're like, no. No, they only needed was a little recognition to someone to say, you see me. Just that's it.
And you're worth it.
You're worth it. Like you're keep trying. Investment. Yeah. You are worth this investment.
Yeah. So let's your role with AWS. You've been there 5 years. Do you feel like you're where you're meant to be?
So we're almost at 5. July will be 5 years. We're okay. Counting. We're so close, Susan. Yeah. I am exactly where I need to be right now. Exactly where I need to be, right? Where my feet are landed. And I think I am exactly what AWS is meant to be regarding your ability to recreate yourself. You know, I had Amazon on my love letter, right? I did experience rejection. Oh, wow. I did experience rejection. And I had great friends that helped speak life into me. And they're like, no, you belong there, right?
Wow.
And even, you know, as I've learned to grow within, you know, great champions to help speak life and where I continue to show up and say, hey, where do I want to go? Right. Am I giving too much power to the position I'm in? Am I giving too much power to a person? And what's the vision for myself? Where are you going to see yourself being happy? What do you love doing? And I continue to just anchor in those directions. Like, hey, what's going to get you more visibility is participating in strategy docs. All right. In order to participate in a strategy doc, you got to learn how to write. You got to learn how to perspective. So go out there and learn, research, read. What's the problem they look to solve? And with all your experience and exposure, how does that, it's like everything came together. The ability of working on big billion-dollar bills and deals in the defense contracting industry, working internationally, working on contracts, right? Learning growth strategies, overcoming challenges in terms of pivoting into a P&L organization, surge hiring. Those things all came into play with coming into AWS, and my leaders needed that help. And I continue to just focus on what is their biggest problem and how can I help, right? And also, how can I help others who are stronger in the HR element get more exposure so that those needs of the business still take care of themselves? And then as I got comfortable with certain leaders, the ones that I knew that were vested in my interest, I started dropping seeds. No, I really love the business side of stuff. I want to win too. I want to get closer to the customer. And they naturally helped me again with the experience and exposure and the doors properly open to where I had an awesome woman leader. She was like, you need to decide if HR is your path. And I said, no. And I feet first again.
Yeah.
And another leader who said, no more. You can't be in those conversations no more. You got to stop. Okay. Another champion. All right. Focus. Another leader said, hey, what are you doing? This is what I'm doing. Are you? Yes, I'm doing this with confidence. Right. And I believe I had pressures. I had tests. I had rejection too. I had people questioning my, you know, credibility, my credentials, and I continue to show up. People don't know. I spent my weekends reading, studying, you know, getting champions, other sales leaders. All right. What does this mean? How does this work? Right. And here I'm here today.
Here you are. Here you are. Yeah. What would you say, what's your secret sauce for landing new business? I mean, sales is hard. I think it's so hard.
Connections, relationships.
Yeah.
Yes. You know, we put together a wonderful program under the leadership of Rachel Scaff for Women of the Cloud. And we were sourcing for customers that will be willing as to give them more exposure. And I remember we were getting ready for one of the main broadcast moments. And I was like, I was struggling on trying to find an amazing customer. Until I was like, bing, 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 my own network, texting my friends, hey, double click, you're on Amazon platform. All right, customer, great. I need someone who is in this industry, who is an advocate that can show up. And one of my other best friends, Kurt Hudson, was able to help me find a wonderful top chief technologist from another company to be that highlight sales leader in that session. But relationships, right? And as I spend time with customers, like I just get to know them. And, you know, you have more in common with someone just getting to know them and not getting to know them for their job title, but for their backgrounds, what they're interested, what do they invest at, right? What are their special hobbies? What are their dreams and passions? And you actually have more in common. So for me, what's helped me is connection. So I spend time with my team and I say, check on LinkedIn, see who you're connected with and ask. More than likely, people will help you connect.
Tia, I guess my last question for you is, why do you believe we need more women in technology?
I say, why do we need more women in the industry? Full stop, right? There's plenty of room. Our voices matter. I feel like we have the ability to look around corners. We have deep insights. We can connect the dots. I think many of us are very objective versus emotional. When I think about I think the challenge for maybe some women is their ability to believe and the capacity and the time and balance. I know there's many factors, so I acknowledge that. But when I go into certain conferences and I look at how many C-suite people, I see like the same names over and over again, right? That's why programs like yours matters, gives exposure to others that might not get exposure because they're not in a C-suite title, right? So it's hard for people to see and believe there's a pathway for them when it's not somebody in their category or their role, right? So visibility and exposure does matter. So what you're doing does matter. It's important, right? We cannot go back to a society where there's just males because we wouldn't be exactly where we're at. Women played a part in terms of our evolution and our growth as a society. So we do have a responsibility when it comes to AI. We do have a responsibility in terms of being a voice and being, hey, having insights on saying what is good and bad when it comes to some of these new developments, right? We can be a part of the new growth, right? We can be a part of the ideation, and we already are. Right? Some of our biggest leaders, even at Amazon, are women leaders when it comes to technology. So there, I would say the message to women where they feel like there's not a seat at the table, there is. And if you are not invited to a table, invite yourself. When I hear about a meeting and my team is like, well, we're not on the agenda, I said, well, we're going.
We don't need an invitation. We're going.
And you'd be surprised in the room, you offer opinion, and then all of a sudden someone's like, oh, invite them back because they have something to say. They have something insightful. Yeah. And that's how you create the space. I have some great mentors where I was too quiet and they were like, never go to that meeting and be quiet again. Right. So now I say stuff. And I mean, sometimes I used to say stuff and again, rejection, y'all, overcoming it. Someone would say, I wouldn't agree with that. And then someone else will say, well, I think she was saying, and I learned the confidence of how to kindly just raise my hand again and say, well, I just want to clarify. I want to clarify my point. This is what I was stating. Did you hear it differently? And that's how I do it, to take back the power of what I was saying to where it's not misconstrued or someone taking credit for what I'm doing, right? Because I know that that's also an unconscious bias or something that can happen. But I would say invite yourself to the room and keep, and if they keep knocking, go to someone else's door and somebody else will hear you. There's plenty of space in this world for you, right? If you believe you belong there. So I would say that would be what my feedback is, and especially with the evolution and changes when it comes to AI and technology, there's plenty of room.
Yeah. I love, if I had to come up with one word for you, it would be persistence.
Yes.
Right. Don't ever quit. And you're so right about, I think the only thing that really holds women back is a lack of belief. Everyone has something to contribute. Everyone has something original and different to say, but we're often afraid to speak up. So I think you're a great motivator.
Yeah. So think about it. The poem, my favorite poem, and I actually have it in a picture frame, our deepest fear. And our deepest fear is that we are, you know, is our own self. And we have to know it's our light, not our darkness, that it most frightens of. So when you learn that, it's like you pulling back in your own light, you sinking small does not serve the world. That poem is so powerful. So when you get that into lines, I'm like, my shrinking small does not serve this world. It does not serve my team. It does not serve my family. It doesn't serve me as myself, but it's my light that frightens me.
Yeah, that's really interesting. We might have to have you back and talk about just that one last line you said. I love that. Tia, thank you so much. I really enjoyed our conversation, full of great insights and inspiration for the women watching.
Awesome. Thank you so much, Susan. Hope to connect with anybody who's watching.
Yes. Stay with us as we go into our last break, and I'll be back to close out the show. Over on our Women to Watch YouTube channel, we have a partner profile series featuring some of the amazing executive women working at Children's Hospital of Philadelphia. Our latest installment features Dr. Susan Firth. Here's an excerpt from our latest conversation. The goal, I would say, of CHOP is for every child to have a chance at a healthy future. And how does the Research Institute specifically support and help in that goal?
One of our strategic imperatives as an enterprise is to really promote research-driven precision medicine, you know, so diagnostics and therapeutics that are really tailored to an individual's circumstance. And I always add to that research-driven precision medicine that this has to be research-driven precision medicine for everyone. So we've invested in programs around health equity, research methods, and making sure that as we are pursuing our research and discovery, that we're thinking about how our questions apply to different populations, whether it's where they live, if they're rural or urban, or what their social determinants of health are. So we're trying to incorporate thinking broadly about improving child health to all populations. So we want to help children who are around the world and also in our backyard.
To learn more about Dr. Susan Firth, head over to our Women to Watch YouTube channel for the full interview.
We are CHOP, and we can't wait to show you around. We're the nation's first children's hospital. Now, a care network with more than 50 locations that continues to expand. 3 state-of-the-art research buildings with 1.5 million square feet of space. We have grown from 12 beds 165 years ago to nearly 600 beds and one of the best children's hospitals in the world. We have a level 1 trauma center, 11 floors of patient units, more than 20 operating rooms, first-of-its-kind delivery unit for babies with birth defects, a separate cardiac operative and catheterization suite, and places to learn, like our internationally recognized simulation center. We have trained generations of leaders in the field of pediatrics. We are world leaders in medicine, surgery, and science. One of the top recipients in NIH funding for pediatric research. In this building, pioneers in CAR T therapy, mitochondrial disease, brain tumors, hyperinsulinism, and other rare diseases. Here, groundbreaking work in fetal surgery, genetics and genomics, and neurology. In our newest building, leaders in social determinants of health, clinical informatics and epidemiology, autism, trauma and injury prevention. Our patients come from every state and 115 countries. Meeting these challenges requires the best and the brightest. We are passionate about pediatrics. We are motivated to make a difference in the world and in our community. We are a team. We are CHOP.
Hi, I'm Dawn Zier, CEO, board director, and executive mentor to Fortune 500 executives through my work at the EXCO Group, a firm of experienced CEOs, board directors, and global business leaders who offer real-world experience to help organizations and senior executives grow. At some point early on in your life, you've likely been asked, what do you want to be when you grow up? Some of us know right away, but most of us don't know exactly what we want to do and change our mind multiple times throughout our lives, and that's perfectly okay. Take me, for example. When I look at my career, it's been a non-linear journey and chock full of reinventions. First, I was an engineer, then I switched to marketing. I worked at a phone company, a bank, ran international for a media company, became a CEO of a health and wellness company, and now serve on multiple boards across various industries. Which brings me to one of the biggest lessons I've learned. For many successful people, their career is not a straight line. Let each chapter, each role inform the next, and don't be afraid to pivot. Also, remember that one often needs to make lateral moves rather than take a promotion to prepare for upward mobility. No experience is wasted, and every position you find yourself in is an opportunity to learn, to figure out what you want to do, and perhaps even more importantly, what you don't want to do, and also to define where your true passion lies. Please follow me on LinkedIn at Dawn Zier. And if you're a senior executive looking to grow in your career, visit expoleadership.com to learn more.
That's it, everyone, for another week of Women to Watch. Thanks so much for being with me. Next week, I'll be sitting down with Rianne Eisler. Rianne is a scientist. She is a futurist, and she's written a very notable book called The Chalice and the Blade. Very much looking forward to talking with her. Thank you, as always, to our sponsors for their support of our show, and I'll see you all next week.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job post seen on other job sites. With Indeed's sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/PODKATZ13. Just go to Indeed.com/PODKATZ13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.